Good morning. I want to start by saying thank you in many ways. First, for the opportunity to be here for many reasons, and thank you to Pastor Reed for inviting me, not least because, as she mentioned, this was my home congregation for a number of years, and it's good to be among old friends and meet new people. And also because as I come to start a new call at MIT, and I come back to this congregation that has for so long focused on ministry to the academic communities of Cambridge, it is so wonderful to come back and find partners in ministry as well as old friends. So thank you. And this morning, and I really appreciate that wonderful reflection on Isaiah and grappling with that difficult text. So I'm going to wimp out and take the easier text of Paul. But because I think it Paul's story, in some ways, I often feel that there's a lot of similarities between us and Paul in some ways. Paul, you might remember, was a persecutor of the early church. Okay, so we're not persecutors of the early church. The metaphor only goes so far. But Paul was a persecutor of the church. He killed many Christians and tried to stamp out this new faith. Not because he was a faithless person or because he hated God or anything like that. That was not true. Paul loved God. Paul thought himself to be the best and most faithful Jewish person there could be. Paul loved the law. Paul loved the system that God had given them. And Paul was afraid of the consequences should people not follow the law, and wanted to make sure that everything was preserved as it should be, and was willing to do anything it took. Let's stop there for a second. I don't see a whole lot of persecutors out in the crowd here. But I have seen, as I travel around variously through New England, churches filled with faithful people who love the good that has been, who love God, who want to do what is right, and so highly value what the good that has been that they feel the need to keep it just so. And in doing so, there is always a danger that just as Paul took it upon himself to preserve the way things should be according to God, that if we take it upon ourselves to keep what has been good, that we end up causing damage. But that's just the beginning of Paul's story. Paul, you might remember, on a walk to the city of Emmaus on the road, had an encounter with the risen Christ that changed his life. And it is much later that Paul writes to the Corinthians and tells the story of this risen Christ. In fact, it's the earliest telling that we have of the story of the death and resurrection of Christ, because the Gospels were written later. And so this short synopsis is the first telling we have of how Christ died and was raised, and then he appeared to Peter, and then he appeared to the 12, and he appeared to the women, and he appeared to lots of other people, and then he appeared to James, and then he appeared to more apostles, and then he appeared to... Do you see a pattern forming? I mean, the story hinges very much on Christ died and Christ was raised, but then what is the bulk of Christ's work as related by Paul? Christ appeared, and then he appeared, and then he appeared, and then he appeared, and he appeared some more. And when Christ did not appear directly, he sent those to whom he had appeared to say that he had appeared. It's a lot of appearing going on, which I suppose is appropriate a description to read during Epiphany when we hear about Christ appearing. The bulk of God's work, according to Paul, is appearance. and sending other people to tell about appearance. All hinging on the death and resurrection, of course. But this makes sense that Paul would tell the story this way, because Paul had heard about the death and resurrection of Christ and still was a persecutor, thinking that he was in the right, until he had his experience of the risen Christ appearing. And it was a formational experience, and he was not the same person that he was before after that. And he found himself going and sharing the story. For Paul, the salvation hinged on the death and resurrection, but the actual place where he found people being saved, because he doesn't say they were saved, he said, "You Corinthians who are being saved, continuously, are being saved in this way, Christ is appearing and being proclaimed." And so salvation isn't, "Oh, well, we were bad, but we get a get out of hell free card." It is Christ appearing to us in presence and in word so that we might be changed and we might be someone different than we were yesterday. Paul describes the experience as being one untimely born. Now, often this is interpreted as saying, well, Paul was too young to have been with the original group of apostles, so, you know, Christ had to come back after the fact because, you know, Paul wasn't around for that. And that's fine, that there's truth to that, except that the phrase, the Greek phrase, to be untimely born, would be most often used to mean a baby who was premature, untimely born, born at the wrong time, and thus, in the ancient world, very unlikely to survive. So Paul describes himself as a person who was born, but who was effectively non-viable. That's how he describes his life before meeting Christ. But in this meeting, he was formed into a new person. Paul loves the language of new creation, and Paul describes how now he is alive with Christ. A whole different person. So, what happens as a result of God's work of appearance? Who we are actually changes. It's not just, okay, we did some bad things, we get forgiven. That's good too. But Paul's experience of salvation is that we are changed into someone who is participating in God's work. And so as I think about my travels around New England, and the many churches that I see, and also the activity that's happening in the academic communities here, where people are being formed and taught, and hopefully people will graduate from schools being very different than when they were freshmen. And people will leave University Lutheran going on to the rest of their lives being different people than when they arrived. I see in that evidence of God's work as described by Paul, saying God is showing up and we are speaking of God showing up, and the things that we never thought we could believe, we will become people who can believe them. The things that we did not think we could do, we will become people who can do them. The community that we thought must be one way, we will become people finding ourselves doing something different, something wonderful. And in this is God's work, that God appears to us to continue making us into what we will be. Thanks be to God. And may God continue to bless us and appear to us, that we shall be evermore the people God intends us to be. Amen.